several weeks we've been talking about the Word of God, and we found out over the last couple weeks that the Word of God is bread and seed. Turn over in Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. We'll read this real quickly. It says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give two things, seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God here by the prophet Isaiah says, the word is sent to do two things, to give seed to the sower and bread for the eating. And of course, we've talked extensively about this bread aspect of the word of God. Bread does you no good until you eat it, until it's consumed, ingested and digested. And the word of God is the same way. So we've been talking about that. And last week we talked about meditation. But this week we want to start talking about and looking at the word being seed. The series that we're called, what I'm calling this series is the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. And so we're going to be looking at that parable that Jesus talked about, the sower and the word. But look over in your Bible. Let's look at the word as seed. The Bible says that as long as the earth remains, there's always going to be seed time and harvest, winter and summer, cold and heat. But as long as the earth is here, this principle of seed time harvest is going to forever be present. Look what Jesus said. Well, look what Peter wrote about the word being seed in 1 Peter. I'm turning there too. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Let me read it in the New King James Version, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Y'all know I use this parallel Bible, King James, New King James on one side, Amplified on the other side. Listen to this, verse 23, 1 Peter 1, 23. "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." Here we find out that God's word is seed. But not just seed, incorruptible seed, flawless seed. It produces exactly what he created it to produce. Remember what we read in Isaiah, God said, My word comes down like rain. It's seed to the sower, and it's bread to the eater, and it does exactly what I sent it forth to do. God's words of healing contain healing in them. They're seeds of healing. You remember in Psalms 107 and verse 20, Psalm says, "He sent his word and healed them." How God did that was give us a bag of seeds. This is the seed of God. Listen to that same passage. 1 Peter 1:23 in the Amplified Bible. "You've been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, seed, sperm, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting Word of God." So here we find out in the Amplified Version that the Word of God is the seed of God, which contains his DNA, which enabled us to be born again. That's how we got born again. We got born again just like a human being is born. The seed or the sperm of a father impregnates the egg of the mother, and it creates a brand new life that never existed before. The same thing, when you receive the word of God, how'd you receive it? You heard it, you believed it and received it. It infused your human spirit as that egg, that receiver part, the sperm of the word of God, and impregnated your human spirit, caused it to be born again, a new creature that never existed before. The word of God changed, just impregnating your human spirit caused your eternity to change forever. The same word of God, now that's what it was meant to do when you received that. The same word of God concerning healing, the same words of God concerning abundance, the same words of God concerning everything that God formed it to be will create that on the inside of you, just like a seed, just like a pregnancy. And that's what we want to understand, because Jesus talks about this in great detail. Pastor, how does the word of God contain that life? Well, we saw that in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, you remember it? In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, or made by the word. Everything here in the natural world was made, came from the spiritual world. Everything naturally has an underlying spiritual root. And God said, my word created everything. And so in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, we see that God's word created the universe. It created everything. It created the earth. God created it with his word. Well, the amazing thing is God's word and him are inseparable. They're one and the same. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Verse 14 says, and the word became flesh. The word of God and God are synonymous. They're one and the same. They're inseparable. So when we receive the word of God, it brings life to that area as a seed in our human spirit. Watch this. Turn over in your Bible. Let's jump to it. Y'all ready to get to it? Tonight's message is called The Secret of the Kingdom. Not the secrets of the kingdom. The secret. Singular. The secret of the kingdom. Look over in your Bible. We're going to be sticking a lot in Mark chapter 4. But I want to read you just one verse to start out. One verse, Mark chapter 4, verse 11. I'm going to read it to you in the NIV. Listen to this. Jesus, here, let me set it up. Jesus got on a boat and started talking to a multitude, a huge multitude, started coming around, and he began to teach them parables. If you go through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll see that Jesus taught 10 parables at that one setting. He taught 10 different parables, and several of them were regarding a seed. Well, in this one parable that we're going to look at, the parable of the sower and the seed, he explains it, what it means. Well, first he just tells them what the parable is, and then he says, you guys understand what I'm saying? They got privately and said, hey, tell us what you meant by that. He said, what? You don't understand that parable? He said, if you can't understand this, you can't understand any parables that I teach. Look at verse 11, what he says, NIV. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those who are those on the outside, everything is said in parables. He said, I just shared with you the secret of the kingdom of God. Here's how the kingdom of God operates. Here's how salvation operates. Here's how healing operates. Here's how abundance operates. Here's how everything in the kingdom of God operates. If you want anything from God, this is how you get it. It operates like a seed. And that's what we got to look at tonight. And I'm telling you, anything you need, this is how you bring it to pass. This is how it comes to pass. So pay close attention. Let's jump into it. First of all, let's look at a couple parables that the other parables that Jesus talked about that same day regarding a seed to help us get some insight to this whole truth, this whole secret that Jesus called it. Turn over in your Bible to Mark chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, second gospel, chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. You ready? Look at this. In verse 26, Mark chapter 4, it says, and he said, the kingdom of God, Jesus said this, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Jesus here tells how this whole seed, the seed principle works. He says, the kingdom of God is just like a seed. It operates just like a seed. He says, it's like a man who scatters seed on the ground and he goes to bed and gets up in the daytime, goes about his normal business, and that seed will produce by itself. Because look what he says, for the earth yields crops by itself. In other words, the life in the seed, when put in the soil, when put in the ground, something with that combination brings out what God has put in that seed. The life that's in that seed comes out only when it's in the soil. In other words, if you sit a seed under your hand, sit it on the desk, put it anywhere, it's dead. It doesn't do anything. But when placed in the ground, now somehow that ground with the seed causes it to bring forth the life that's in that seed. And this is why in Genesis, God didn't have to create a whole bunch of animals, a whole bunch of trees. All he had to do was create two, a male and a female, and then that seed is in itself. Every single thing, this is the Genesis principle, the seed of its kind is in itself. Every seed is in itself. God didn't have to make a whole generation of people. All he had to do was make one and then pull the woman out of her, and they could create billions. When you holding a seed, you're not holding just one tree. You're holding an orchard, because the life of that whole future is in the seed. The future that God has for you is in the seed. And we're going to find out what the seed is. Are y'all ready? I'm getting excited about it already. Look at verse 30. Here's another parable that Jesus told about the seed, because we're going to study it and watch it. Watch this. Verse 30. Then Jesus said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it?" And that's what a parable is. A parable is a natural picture to show a spiritual principle, to show spiritual truths. Natural things and story picture to show spiritual truths. He said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it?" Verse 31, "It is like a mustard seed." The whole kingdom of God's like a mustard seed, "which when it is sown in the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." He's saying this seed, a seed, very small, when planted and kept in the ground, will produce a huge harvest that will produce other things. It can, you know, birds can live off of this now. It produces shade. It produces fruit, all from a seed. Now, let's look at this main parable that Jesus said. If you don't understand this, you can't understand any other parables that he taught. It's right beginning in Mark chapter 4. Are y'all with me? Do you have your Bible? Come on, let's get it. Mark chapter 4, here we go. "And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many parables and said to them in his teaching." So he was teaching in parables, and here's what he says. Watch it. Here's where it kicks off. Verse 3. "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." That means just get a picture of a man with a bag of seeds, maybe a bag on his side, and just sowing these seeds. Verse 4. "And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air devoured it." Verse 5, "Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth." Verse 6, "When the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." Verse 7, "And some seed fell on thorns." Here's the third scenario. "And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop." Verse 8, "But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold." Verse 9, "And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" And I say it to you, you who have ears to hear what I'm saying right now. Watch what Jesus said. "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable." Jesus made such a big deal out of them understanding just those words that he said right there. Sower goes and sows seed. Some fell by the wayside. The birds of the air came and ate it up, devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, it scorched because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell on thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And others fell on good ground, it yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced 30-fold, 60, and 100. And he said to them, you better hear what I'm just said right there. And of course, later on, they asked him when he was alone. So after he had shared all these other parables, 10 parables, they came and asked him, "Hey, what did you mean by that? What did you mean by that parable?" And you asked, "He that had ears." We all got ears, but what do you mean? Did you hear what I said? Watch what these next words say. Verse 11. "And he said to them, 'To you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God.'" I just told you in those few sentences the whole mystery of the kingdom of God, how everything works in the kingdom of God, how healings happen, how prosperity happens, how everything in the kingdom of God works. This is the secret to the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, this merits our study. This merits our time to understand this, because if there's anything you need from God, Jesus is saying, this is how you're supposed to get it right here. If you need a healing, please pay close attention, because with these series and understanding these passages right here, you're going to receive your healing. God's already provided. He's already provided the seed, right? We know that. We've just got to learn how to sow it. Watch what he said here. He said, he that has ears to hear. We all know that faith comes by hearing, but what most people aren't doing is sowing the word. They're not sowing it. They're hearing it. Faith comes by hearing. But when they need a healing, when they need abundance, when they need a breakthrough, when coronavirus is going on and they want to be protected, you've got to sow this word and get it in your heart. Sow it in your heart and get it in your life so that it produces a tree, a fruit of healing. Amen, amen, amen. All right, watch this. Verse 11. Let me read the whole thing. Verse 11 and 12, he says, and he said to them, to you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. It just sounds like riddles to everybody else. But to you has been given to know this. To you and I as believers, Jesus says, I've shared these things in parables so that others who have no heart for the kingdom of God, who have no heart, they're just, they may have even heard these things, but they have no heart for it. They'll never get it. But for you, you're going to seek after it. You're going to want to understand it. You're going to want to hear it. You're going to want to give the time to understand this because this is like the key to receiving everything that God has for you. Good God, I love this. Man, I love being saved. I love understanding these things. Watch verse 12. So that seeing, and he quotes Isaiah here. He quotes Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 6. Watch what he says. So that seeing, they who don't have a heart may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins should be forgiven them. Did you hear what he's saying? He's saying, if you understand this, if you get this, if you have a heart for this, this unlocks forgiveness for you. This unlocks salvation for you. Watch this. This same passage, let's look at this in Matthew chapter 13. By the way, Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, write that on the screen. Just put it there so others can see that and remember it. But Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, the same parables, but of course Matthew wrote it a little bit different. Mark wrote it a little bit different than the others in Luke. They all wrote it a little different, so you can glean a little more truth when we look at all three of the chapters, when you look at all three. So I want to encourage you, if there's anything you need from God, saint, friend, if you need anything, please take the time and walk with me in this study. When you get time on your own, take a look at this, read it, set it to memory, understand the four scenarios so you can identify how to get exactly what you need from God. Amen, amen. All right, in Matthew chapter 13, let's look what he said here because he says something really powerful. Matthew does that Mark didn't say about what Jesus said, why he teaches in parables. Look in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, beginning at verse 10 through 17. Look at this. And the disciples came to him after he'd shared this parable, is in chapter 13, verse 10. And the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Why are you teaching everybody in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. I'm telling them in parables so that you're following me. You have a heart for me. Anybody who has a heart for me, they're going to lean in. They're going to dig in and get this. But everybody else, they're going to go, oh, he's just talking about trees. Oh, he's just talking about talents. He's just talking about, and don't give it any other thought. But you and I are going to lean in. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do. Particularly if you want to move your life from one position to another, one level to another, this is going to be paramount. This is going to be the key right here. Watch what he says here. He says, verse 12, for whoever has what? To him will more be given. If you read in the Amplified, it says, for whoever has spiritual knowledge. This is right in the context of understanding this parable of the sower and the seed. He's saying, whoever understands this, to him, he will have abundance. What? If I understand this, I can have access to abundance? Yes. Look at this. But whoever does not have understanding of this, even what he has will be taken away from him. Even what he does have, the health that he does have, the joy that he does have, even that is able to be taken away if he doesn't understand this truth. Do you understand how huge this is? This is paramount that we understand this. It's critical that you and I as believers, particularly in these evil days, in these trying times, understand this principle of how to sow the word and how to produce every single promise that God has for us in our life. Look at this. Let me read on. He says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, verse 13, because seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Isn't that something? The Bible says it over and over in Proverbs. Get wisdom, but get understanding. Get knowledge, but make sure you get understanding. Knowledge is just data. And of course, the Bible says you got to get the right knowledge. You got to get the truth. But knowledge is just data. Understanding is an analysis of that. Understanding is you understand that knowledge. But wisdom is the practical application of that. On Wednesdays, y'all, on the weekdays, every morning, I encourage everybody, y'all, get up with me. Or if you can't get up, if your schedule is such that you're not a morning person, please go on my Facebook page and get the Proverbs. Get the Proverbs. Today is the 8th. Get Proverbs 8. Tomorrow's Proverbs 9. Oh my God, it's wisdom talking. You got to get that. And we're doing exactly what this parable says. That's how you do it. So join with me on tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. or after. Just get it. It's on our Facebook page. So you can get that and understand how to get this work in your life. Watch this. Verse 15, it says, quoting Isaiah, Jesus does, he says, their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. God's saying, if you get this, if you set your attention to this, if you set this to understanding, I'm going to be able to get you my healing. I'm going to be able to get you, we saw it in another one, prosperity, abundance. This is the key to how to do it. Share this video with somebody. If you know anybody that needs anything, this is the way to do it. Your destiny, this is how you sow it. You get to sow it yourself. Praise the Lord. Then he says here in verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see. They wish they had known this principle and this truth that he's sharing with us right now. Thank God we're alive for this time. Turn back in your Bible. Turn back in your Bible. Oh, now remember this. Remember what he said? He said this. He said, he that has, more will be given. And to him that has not, does not have this understanding, even what he has will be taken away. Does that sound familiar? It should, because Jesus shared that in another parable, the parable of the talents. Y'all remember the story? It's in Matthew chapter 25. Turn over there real quick because it's very important. You know, it seems, y'all have heard it said, the rich get richer and the poor get poor. And it seems like an unfair statement. It seems like, haven't y'all seen that in life? People who have nothing stay having nothing and even lose what they do have. But people who have get more and more and more. The rich get richer, the poor keep getting poorer. The healthy get healthier and the sick get sicker. What is that? Why did Jesus say to him that has, more will be given, but him that does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him? Look at that parable. In Matthew chapter 25, remember this, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a man traveling to a faraway country, and he gets his stewards or his servants and he entrusts them with his stuff. He says to one guy, he gives him 5 talents. The Bible says it here. It's about worth $5,000. If you look at it in modern translations, it looks like it was $1 million plus or something. But just to keep it simple, he says he gave one guy 5 talents. Another guy gave 2. And another guy gave 1. And one of the keys is each according to their own several ability. He gave them according to what they could handle. And if you read the first scenario, it says the first guy went out immediately and traded his. What does that tell you? He had prepared, he had studied, he had taken the time. He had taken the time to figure in the mornings and in the evenings to figure out, what would I do if I had 5 talents? What would I do if the boss gave me this? What would I do? And he knew, and he went out immediately and traded his and turned his 5 into 10. It says immediately, so he knew what to do. When he got it, he went out, traded it, turned it into 10 immediately. The second guy, it says he went out likewise, but he didn't go out immediately, didn't have the same intensity. It just says he went out. So he probably figured out, okay, here's what I'm going to do, and he figured out what to do, but he turned his 2 into 4, right? But the guy who had one, why did he have less? And why did even what he had get taken away from him? Jesus explains it right here in this parable. Let's take a look, because if you get this secret to the kingdom, it's going to open the door for you for much more. If you don't get it, and this is a hard saying, y'all, but if you don't get this, if you just blow this off and go, whatever, there's a good chance even the health you have, the abundance you have, you'll lose that too. The talent you have, don't even utilize it. You get what I'm saying? Look over here in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 24. This is where we'll pick up the guy with the one talent. Y'all remember? Look at this. Then he, the master, after he'd come back, he said to the one who had just received one. Then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Let me read in the Amplified. Master, I knew you to be a harsh and hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you had not winnowed the grain. Do y'all see the problem here with this? With the guy who had received one? He had bad information. His life was not based in truth, and therefore he reacted wrong. He responded wrong. Truth does make you free. This guy believed a lie. We already know who's rooted in lies. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Jesus said, and he was, boy, it's really strong. He said to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, you're of your father the devil. He's a liar, and he's been a liar from the beginning. And that's why you believe a lie. Here Jesus says to this guy says, hey, well, I knew you. Why did I take my one talent, the thing you gave me, and didn't do anything with it? I just hid it, held on to it till you came back. Why didn't I do anything with what you'd given me? Why? Because I knew you to be a harsh and hard man, reaping where you had not sowed and gathering where you had not winnowed the grain. Verse 25, so I was afraid. Fear is the result or the fruit of bad information, a lie. When you don't know the truth, you end up fearful, and fear produces fruit too. We see that in Job chapter 3, 25. Job said, the thing that I've greatly feared has come upon me. Why? Because when we don't know the truth about how much God loves us, how much he cares for us, faith worketh by love. Galatians 5 and verse 6. Faith works by love. How does that work? When I know how much God loves me, I know how much he's given me, know that he laid down his life to provide for my health, my salvation, my wealth, my provision. He became poor so I could be rich. When I know that, when I live in that truth, when my loins are girded about with that truth, when I've tightened that, when I live in that, it gives me this boldness called faith that I can walk in what his promises are. And when I walk by faith, more and more is given to me. Look at this. Let me read on, because this is awesome right here. He says, verse 25. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. It wasn't seed that it was going to grow. He held on to it, just buried it and hid it. He says, like a dog does a bone, so he can come back and get it. He said, here you have what is your own. Here, I gave you this. It's been years, but here's exactly what you gave me back. Here it is back to you, right? Verse 26. But his master answered him, you wicked, lazy, and idle servant. Did you indeed know that I reap where I had not sowed and gathered grain where I had not winnowed? He said, verse 27, then you should have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received what was my own with interest. Now watch, do you see the demand here? The kingdom of God demands a return on what God has given you. He's given you talent, he's given you ability, and he's given you seed of healing. He says, why did you take that seed and just hold on to it? Why didn't you? He said, with what I gave you, you could have at least invested it with bankers and at least gotten some kind of return, some kind of low interest, some kind of return, so that your life wasn't just a waste. What I gave you, you did nothing with it. Wouldn't that be the greatest regret, the greatest pain in life, is to realize you've lived your whole life, but the whole time had this great seed, born again, loved the Lord, but never took the seed that was in this Bible, read it all the time, heard it all the time, but never took it and learned how to sow it to produce a great harvest. Good God, that's what you're learning right now. Look at verse 28. Look what Jesus says, the master says. So take the talent away from him, the guy who had one, and give it to the one who has 10 talents. What? Not the guy who had two, who now has four, but give it to the guy who's going to do the most with it. And isn't that life? Life, abundance, healing goes to those who will do the most with what they've been given. That's what you and I are going to do now that we understand this truth. Turn back over in your Bible to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Y'all excited about this? I hope you are, because this will change your life like it changed mine. Ooh, and remember, let me go back. Remember what Jesus said? He says, the kingdom of God is like a seed. And if you sow it, get it sown, go to bed, get up day and night, go on about your business. He says, it produces a harvest and you don't even have to know how. This is what's called effortless victory, effortless change. You didn't have to do right for God to make you right. The seed of the word of God made you right. You get what I'm saying? You aren't righteous because of your works. You're righteous because of that seed that God put on the inside of you called his word. Now, that seed, when properly sown, will change your doings into right. The Bible says it in Psalms. David said it, hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. When you get this word sown in your heart, when we learn how to do that, and that's what we're going to do in this series, it will eradicate the addictions, it will eradicate the challenges, the sin. Now, you're always going to, because we live in a fallen world, there's always going to be different things that come. But if you'll learn these principles, sickness will be a thing of the past. Yeah, you'll have opportunity to be challenged in it. Broke will be a thing of your past. I'm telling you, this is what it is. Put it on the screen there. Type it in. This is what it is. Are y'all with me? Type it on there so I can see it when I get out of here and look at all that. All right? Back over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Let's start at verse 13. And all we're going to do today, let me look at my time. All we're going to do today is just read it. I'm going to give you the key to it. And then next week, we're going to break down these four scenarios. There's four scenarios in here. Let's read it and you'll see what I'm talking about. Amen. I mean, you say, by the way, Pastor Stokes, I've heard that before. It doesn't matter if you heard this before. I've eaten chicken before and I still want some tonight. Come on, somebody. I ate some pizza before, but I'm wanting some right now. It doesn't matter if you heard it before. It's if you're executing this. You've got to execute this. And that's the difference. And that's why Jesus said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. In fact, that verse in the Amplified Bible, it says, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him be hearing and let him consider and comprehend it. Doesn't matter if you heard it. Did you comprehend it? Do you understand it so you can make application and apply it for wisdom in your life? Make it applicable in your life and produce the harvest of the thing you need. Amen. Amen. Verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? Right? Verse 14. Here we go. The sower sows the word. Put that on the screen for me, y'all, if you can type it in, if you're watching. The sower sows the word. This is the name of this series, and this is what we're going to break down. We're going to understand this. The sower sows the word. Not only does faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but the sower sows the word of God. And we're going to understand how to sow it into your heart so that it produces a harvest. You know, y'all get it? This is what the Bible is talking about. The Bible is talking about in Matthew chapter 12, it says, you'll know a tree by its fruit. It says, if you want to make if the tree is good, the fruit's going to be good. If the tree is evil, the fruit's going to be evil. In other words, what he's saying, the fruit of your life, sickness, disease, lack, is the fruit in life, but it's because the tree, the root, was able to accept it. If the tree doesn't accept the disease, accept that sickness, accept that poverty, if the tree is productive, the fruit is going to be productive. Are y'all with me? You can tell an apple tree because it's got apples hanging on it. You can tell the condition of the tree because what's hanging on it, what's in your life. If broke is in your life, you've got to change the tree. Now, I know that's strong, but if sick is in your life, don't take offense to that. Let's just change the tree. And that's the beautiful thing about what Jesus said in Matthew 12. He says, if you want to change the fruit, change the tree. You can change your tradition, the condition of you as a tree. You get what I'm saying? Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and it shall produce fruit in his season, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Why? Because his tree, he's rooted in this word. It's producing fruit in its season, and nothing can stop it from producing as long as it's rooted in the word of God. As long as you're rooted in the word of God, and you're sowing the seeds that are being sown is life and health, you're sowing these seeds, you're going to produce a harvest of blessing and abundance. All right, where were we? Verse 14, maybe 14, we'll start down. And we're going all the way to verse 20, and then we're going to stop. Watch this. The sower sows the word, verse 15, and these are the ones by the wayside. So here Jesus begins to break down and explain what he said in that parable in the first 9 verses about the sower sows the seed. He breaks it down here. He said, the ones sown by the wayside where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Scenario number one, wayside hearer, the only one where Satan is mentioned and is able to take the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake. Just got the definition of why tribulation and trouble comes. Satan is coming for the word. He couldn't steal it from him like in the first scenario, wayside hearer. But in the second scenario, he caused tribulation to come to try to get that word, to shake that word out of him. We'll break all these down starting next week. Immediately they stumble. Verse 18, third scenario. These are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. For it to become unfruitful, it was producing fruit, but now it's become unfruitful. Scenario number three, thorny heart hearer. Verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Say, that's me. That's right. That's us. Because we're going to understand how to make ourselves, our heart condition, good ground so that the infallible, the uncorruptible seed of the word of God will produce whatever we put in. Whatever we put in. Now listen, your heart will produce whatever's going in. If you're hearing sickness, you're hearing fear, you're hearing all this stuff, it's going to produce that in your life. We want to get our heart so that it produces the word of God, the incorruptible seed. Well, verse 20 again. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now listen, that's the end of the parable. We're going to break this down over the next few weeks. Let me just give you the key to it. By the way, my notes are online. I'm sure that they'll put the link up so that you can get it, and you can get these notes and look at them. Make sure you study this. Listen to me, saint. I want you to get all the harvest of God. We're getting ready to close out there. Watch this. Let me give you the key to it. Number one, we're the sowers. Right now, I'm sowing this word to you. But what I want you to become is the sower that sows the word for you. You become the sower of your life. Number two, the next key is that the word of God is the incorruptible seed. We saw that, and we'll see it over in Matthew, verse 19, I believe. But the key is that the word of God is this incorruptible seed that we're sowing, all right? The four different types of ground, the four scenarios here. The first one, remember, wayside here. And get the picture. If you get the picture and you're putting seed down, some of it's going to go, you know, if you're putting grass seed down, some of it's going to go on the sidewalk, some of it may go in the street. That's not going to grow. And that's what he's saying. This word that was sown, it went by the wayside, right? Then some went on stony ground. Some of it went in on ground that was too hard, hard ground, all kinds of rocks. It didn't get to sink into the soil. The third scenario was among thorns. It went among other weeds and other stuff. So in time, the seed started growing, but thorns started, the other stuff started growing too and choking it out. We're going to look at that. And then the fourth scenario was good ground. That's us. That we're the good ground where this seed of the word of God is going to produce. So there, these four scenarios are four conditions of the heart. The word is infallible, and we got to make sure that we're getting unadulterated, we got to get the word in its pure form. We got to take it straight off the pages and put it right into our heart. Quote it, hear it, say it, read it, get it right in. Not dipped in man's opinion, not dipped in my experience, not dipped in Aunt Sally's experience, not dipped in, you know, Drunk Willie's experience. He went through, well, you know, old Drunk Willie, it didn't work for him. No, no. Don't dip the Word of God in anybody's experience. You know, y'all like, I love apples, you know, but I really love apples when they're dipped in caramel and dipped in that candy red stuff, them candy apples at the fair and stuff. But you know, it takes away the whole value of the apple, the whole nutritional value. Tastes good with all the caramel on it, but the nutritional value now has just, it's been negated by dipping it in the caramel. Likewise, when we take the Word of God and we start dipping it in man's opinions, start taking it, we can't do that. We got to get the Word of God straight off these pages, straight into our heart, right out of our mouth. And so we're going to learn how to do that. So these four conditions, the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground, those are all conditions of our heart, all conditions of the heart. The seed was infallible, but because of how we were hearing, and I like to call it the wayside here. And we'll understand when we start breaking these down. So four scenarios. Next key is only one ground was able to produce and sustain a harvest consistently. Out of these four scenarios, Jesus is showing us only one was able to produce and sustain a harvest. That means 75% of those hearing aren't producing a harvest. And I see that. I see that so much in church. I see that the majority of people that hear, that love God, don't oftentimes produce the great things that are in this word. Although they love God. We're going to fix that. We're going to change that through this parable and making application in it, all right? So we're going to make change the condition of our heart to be a good ground hearer, to be able to hear this thing rightly. And that's what we're going to talk about as well as we break this down. The other key here is the common denominator in all four scenarios is that they all heard the word. So this is important, that hearing the word isn't just enough. It's got to be something else that we do with it. We've heard, many of you all have been in church for decades and still broke, still sick, still struggling with the same sin that you were when you got saved back with Abraham. That shouldn't be so. We've got to make application to this, y'all. I'm telling you, I would rather go to the movies or do something else if this didn't work. But I've seen it work. I've seen it bring to pass things in my life that I couldn't have done on my own. It'll do the same for you. It'll do the same exact thing for you. Amen. Here's the last key right here, and then we're closing. Every believer fits into one of these four categories. Right now, today, you are either a wayside hearer, you're either a stony heart hearer, or either you're a thorny heart hearer, or you're a good ground hearer. And the truth to the key is the fruit that's being produced, if it's being produced in your life. Amen, amen. Here, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the word that we've heard tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that we are not just hearing, but we're going to make application of this word so that not only do we just hear it, but we're going to sow this word in our heart so that we see healing, so that we see abundance, so that we see every single thing that we need from you. Lord, we know that you're not holding back anything from us, that you've given us freely all things that pertain to life, to godliness, to every single thing that we need. You've given it to us, so we're never going to blame you anymore. We're not going to say that God is, why did you heal them and not me? We know it's in our hands to do, and thank you for this revelation. Thank you for everybody that's watching and will watch, and that they'll share this out so that others will see these truths and begin to walk in the greatness that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, give online, connect with me tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., and let's get this prayer in Proverb, and let's get this word working. God bless you. Peace.